Well, try to make it simple. That's the big thing. And we have an opportunity now where we are under the microscope. Let's face it, at one time, we got Triple Crown coverage on NBC, and that was really about it. You know, it was on the smaller networks, a lot of which some don't even have today. So we have this opportunity. But, you know, yesterday I met Alan Foreman with you. So I walk in and I see he's got the big slide saying that the Mid-Atlantic strategy is to do the best of what's in the best interest of the health and welfare of the horse and the jockey. And in my case, the standard bearers will say the driver. And I said, he's right about that. But I don't hear many saying that. I mean, I can remember back, I did media training for AAP back in the day with the on-call veterinarians. So if there was an accident, or sort of a catastrophe, the veterinarian get on and kind of explain what the injury was. But I never heard much about doing what's in the best interest of the health and welfare of the horse and the rider. And I think that's what we have to do. There's an opportunity there now. People actually are paying attention to us. So, you know, it goes well beyond, you mentioned before, pasture, and a lot of it is what's the message, and you got to consistently stay at, especially in a time with social media. You have a show like this that you can get on and talk about it. That's what it's all about.
The one topic that came up in advance even of your thing yesterday was, you know, the crisis mode mentality and the concerns that that these scenarios are only in response to a crisis.
Yeah.
And in some cases, the lack of preparedness for the people that end up in the crosshairs of those circumstances.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's hard to believe that this far removed from a series of incidents, that there still isn't a comprehensive,
consistent
message. Yeah, the, yeah. Or even like an advisory system, like for instance, you know, my wife's a school teacher, and
the famous Tina on Facebook,
exactly, Derby Barbie.
Yeah,
but
Derby.
They don't do it now. Now there's an automated message that dials out to and text, you know, group text.
I got them
that goes
my,
to everybody.
My kids. Yeah, I got them. Yeah.
But there was a time when there was a, you know, a system. The superintendent called the principal called two people called two more, and the word that there's a snow day disseminated to all the teachers. And of course, now, you know, racing offices are disseminating information. How is it that we do not have a way to send that a common message to all of the principals that would need to hear or even be given a script to respond in those circumstances?
So what you're saying is, so track A, B, C, and D are all saying the same thing.
Everybody has the same
message.
Well,
we seem to like to break ourselves into jail, as I said yesterday. I used an item that was on CNN yesterday.
It's a great line.
One trainer is talking about the other. Matter of fact, he was talking about Jerry Hollendorfer and how he pushes, you know, the limit and the edge.
That was Jim Cassidy,
who
has no excuse for what he didn't say.
And then it took the great Bob Baffert. I said, look at this now. Gets on and says, you know, Jerry Hollendorfer is a really good trainer. He really cares about his horses. He really takes care of his horses. But he deals with these claimers. This is what happens. But moreover, Steve, my sense of it is what's really fragmenting things is we keep talking about the drugs and the whips and the steroids, if you will. I don't think that that's what's keeping people from the races. I really, really, really don't. As a matter of fact, I feel this. If people knew, they might look at it the other way. They're banning all the drugs. Okay, they might have a son who plays soccer or a daughter who plays volleyball and she gets a sore knee and you couldn't give her an aspirin.
I agree about
that. And here's the funny thing. I'll give you an example. I have a great example. I never got to that yesterday. You know, I'm a standard bred trainer. Trained the greatest trotter ever, probably. Certainly the greatest sire in the world down Muscle Hill. He is. He's really, really tops. All right. But back in the day, and I always did it on a sideline, but I grew up in Nova Scotia, Canada. Well, that's what we did. We played hockey and raced horses, by the way. That's what we did. And we did something else. So we
drank Screech.
Newfoundland Screech, that's right. But a horse comes to me. There's a file on him from New Bolton and Cornell. Said he has a bad heart and he shouldn't race again. I think, looks good to me now. Oh. So the veterinarian comes, looks over. Cut a long story short, I tell him, I'll tell you what to do. And I disclose this all the time. Tell you what we'll do. Give him 5 cc's of Winstrol V. That is, because I said, that is the prescribed Food and Drug Administration approved. Because I worked for them, did a lot of media training for them. And I can tell you, if they approve a medication, it works. Here they've had since the 80s experience with it. And now because of the baseball players, they're banning it. But they're not. The problem is they're not Barry Bonds. They're not Jose Canseco. They're horses. And I'll quickly say this. The horse went out. First time I raced him, he won the Messenger at Yonkers for $550,000 and another million. And all that it was. And then they said toward the end, they're banning them. So what did I do? I said, if you look at, I get my mini Dash Hound dog, she can be prescribed Winstrol, but the horse can't. So I said, it won't be fair to him. He won't be as healthy. We took him off all these corticosteroids and medications for his heart. He went to Chicago, won at Balmoral. I never raced him again. He became a stallion. It wouldn't be fair to him. So, you know, who are we really being fair to here?
I agree. And this is, you know, this is the thing about with Lasix.
Well, yeah, if they bleed, Lasix helps them.
Well, exactly.
But if they don't bleed, I own the thoroughbreds too. You'd call the guy. I had some good trainers. When are you going to race them? And here's what they say. Well, I got to put them on Lasix. Does he bleed? No, I put them on Lasix. Well, Lasix should be hard, very hard to get on. And easy to get off. In other words, if it doesn't work, take them off it. But the way it is now, it's easy to get on, but hard to get off. It's just the opposite.
Well, the concern is, or the thought process is, knowing that they all suffer EIPH in some varying degree,
yeah.
And we keep saying,
and we probably do as athletes. Probably if you and I were out, we were prize fighting or whatever, and they scoped us after we'd show a little blood.
Well, the if we're for the safety and welfare of the horse,
right.
Why would we deny them a $15 prescription that we know works effectively?
But again, let's get it so only those that are on it.
But that's a strange backward step where we got into the era where people were, you know, putting blood in their nostrils so that it appeared that they were bleeders to get them on Lasix. That's sort of a goofy step backwards.
You're going back to
a different
Vernon Downs days.
Now you're talking.
They sprayed up their nose.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that when they tried to get approval to be on Lasix, they would get it. Do we really want to start taking straw and water away from horses, you know, 24 hours out? I mean, and going to these 1930s, you know.
About to ration their water?
Of course.
No, I saw that about that. They had the study about the Lasix 24 hours out, but then they had to control their water?
Of course.
Anything you read, they have to have all the water they can drink or they can colic and die.
Well, so we've got something that's safe and effective and inexpensive, but we're for the welfare and safety of the horse, except we're going to take away something that works for everybody. It's just it's a silly
debate.
You'll
get a kick out of this yesterday. When I said to the group, I said, I'm sorry I'm not the real Gregory Peck, but we also had a John Wayne in there yesterday.
Yes, you do, from Delaware.
What John Wayne did, he did a study on milkshakes in the Maritimes. And I, you know what? I have a different version on the milkshakes, too. I said, okay, I think they should allow them. You'll say, well, why? That's the one thing, if you ask anybody, that will improve a standard bred for sure, 2 seconds. Now, but the issue becomes, you can't have it, but I get around it some way, you don't. I said, why don't we do it this way? If they approved it, You can get yours at the shop, right? You can get yours at the Acme. I can buy Arm & Hammer, 8 ounces of it. Now, if we get 9, no, we're positive. And it would make it very hard for the underground, because the underground will all tell you there isn't anything that they know that beats 8 ounces of baking soda, and that's hard to believe.
Hey, well, it just to me, this was when the whole thing with the milkshaking went on. I remember I went to Del Carroll. I said, Del, what's the story with this? He says, it's a lactic acid reducer, and yeah. And you know it. He said he didn't really understand. He didn't understand what the big deal was.
Steve, think about it, because when they break down, they get tired. That would prevent breakdown. Even though they went faster, they'd get less tired. They'd finish up better. They'd pull up better. I'll bet you there'd be less breakdown.
That's an interesting. So this is an interesting angle on it. And the harness guys, they're always a. That's where it came from.
They're ahead of the game.
Yeah.
Well, first
it comes from Europe, then it gets to the standard bred guys, and then.
But I can tell you, I have a good friend, Dr. Baker, who's a Vince.
Vin Baker.
Who I trained the AEP on call program and went to the Derby of the Year, the Real Quiet one. That was in 98, I guess. We've been friends ever since. He says all of what I'm saying. You keep taking all the drugs away, and you're going to break more of them down. But we're the ones who keep talking about it. Yeah. We're not talking about what Alan Foreman said yesterday. The best interest, the health and welfare of the horse.
Greg Peck, I appreciate it, and we're going to get Michael Dickinson in while we got a chance. And there's Debbie Easter, the hero, the Virginian. James Arness was first, then came Debbie Easter.
Who was the Virginian? James? Who was
James Arness?
No, that was Gunsmoke. Who was the Virginian?
James wasn't James Arness?
No, James Arness was Gunsmoke. He was Gunsmoke.
Yeah. He wasn't. Who played the Virginian? I thought.
Some all right, tall, all right. Dark, handsome guy.
All right. I thought. All right. I read the book.
I would just like to eat where you and Tina do. By the way, I said, no, you should see the meals that they have. It looks like a Facebook. I watch them all the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, everywhere they go, they take.
Oh, you got to see them. Oh, yeah.
They take pictures and then they post them.
Talk about doing what's in the best interest of the health and welfare of somebody. He should be 300 pounds. Thank you for having me. By the way,
Greg Peck, everybody. Greg, thank you so much. Let's take our last break. We'll come back and it's amazing. We're going to have to wrap it up from here. It's gone by way too fast. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest, we know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $125 are on them. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K. And you'll get $125 when you wager $500 within your first 30 days. See what I mean? House money just for playing the races you were going to bet anyway. Check out ExpressBet.com for more information. And don't forget to sign up using promo code BYK. BYK to get that $125 bonus. You're going to love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee.
Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states. Open account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
The North American foal crop continues to decline, but not here in Pennsylvania. In 2019, our number of mares bred increased for the third year in a row, this time by 12.5%. Why? Our stallion roster continues to grow. We have the best incentives and bonuses. Plus, there's the stability of our racehorse development fund. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Now, back to At the Races. Here's your host, Steve Bick.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where those treetops listen and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow, the snow.
We're back at the races. And we've got Michael Dickinson, who's waiting for Bob Baffert. He's going to pounce on Baffert.
Well, last year, Rick Hammerley from Santa Anita called to Peter, and he was very interested.
Hold on. That's there we go. Now you're going. Go ahead.
We're ready?
You are.
Okay. Last year, Rick Hammerley, the racing secretary at
Santa Anita,
suggested we put a Topeka track on the training track. And I think that would have been a great idea, especially with a wet winter. And anyhow, unfortunately, Rick moved on to Oaklawn, so it fell flat. So I think we would like to do the training track and to rebuild the trainers' confidence in synthetics and give them a choice. So they'll have the dirt track and the turf and the Topeka on the inside. So we think that's an excellent idea. It should keep everybody happy.
Have you have the conversations been renewed? Because
not really, because they're concentrating on the main track at the moment. And it was Rick's idea, and my wife thought it was a good idea too. So I just wanted to show Bob Baffert what, if we put it down, what he's going to do, because he's a little bit scared of synthetics. But they've changed.
And yesterday during our session, and you know, I while you were going through a series of posts, a series of slides, and I interjected at one point because I wanted to have some acknowledgement that, you know, part of the aftertaste of the first round of synthetics. Really, if there is a negative connotation, Michael, it's been because of really a product that was oversold at the time. Not yours, not Topeka, but we were told a series of things about the products, and when they didn't come to pass, and in fact, in a lot of cases, the opposite proved true, and you know, temperature volatility, etc. That's the residual problem in terms of getting people to be convinced.
Yes, but I listed the 10 most common complaints about synthetics, and I answered them all, and I blasted them out the water. And I think I was fairly, and I wasn't quoting Michael Dickinson. I was quoting other people, such as Bobby Frankel, who hated off tracks. And I produced, like a lawyer, I was producing witnesses, and I had written statements from people and facts from the Jockey Club injury database.
Well, and the, you know, some of those other sidebars, you know, the alleged soft tissue injuries, some of that is just apocryphal stories and not necessarily rooted in facts. To me, you don't need to show any statistic more than sell a point more than what we already know, which is the fatality, the catastrophic number, which is so low, on the synthetic. I mean, that's the best stat that you have.
The last slide we had.
Yeah, that's all the
10,000 starters. That's game, set, and match.
That's Wolverhampton and Newcastle. And there was a third. What was the third?
It was just those two. Our okay. English tracks. Yes.
Okay. That's the strong seller. In terms of, I mean, and certainly you can understand the breeders' concerns, because the breeders have been very moot. It's funny, the breeders have got their agenda, it seems, and they're pushing the USADA bill and so forth, and the Lasix, the anti-Lasix message, but they've been very mum on the surface issue. And in your conversations with prominent breeders, how do you convince them? Because it would seem to me that they're who needs to be convinced.
Yes, it is. And I can't blame them. They've got millions of dollars invested in dirt stallions and dirt mares, so they don't want some second raters coming from Europe and beating them. But I don't think they will. A good horse is a good horse. American Pharaoh would have still won the Triple Crown on synthetic. I mean, he was a good horse. And all our Grade One dirt horses we've had were good on the dirt, they were good on synthetic, and they were good on turf. They were good horses.
Period. So at this point, where do you see things going, and how
well,
how
I don't,
can this
I don't,
be? How
I, don't,
can,
I think the breeders will be. They won't have a vote. It'll be the politicians and the animal rights. It's either change, adapt, or disappear. I mean, we're pretty close to disappearing in California. It's very scary.
It is.
If California goes, the rest of us will follow soon. It'll fall like a pile of dominoes.
Well, no, I mean, California, that's an interesting topic. We'll have that a separate conversation. In your training expertise, what's your Lasix experience, and what's your feeling
on where
we stand with
that? I run all my horses on Lasix because it's a performance enhancer, and most people think it's about four lengths. So I can't give my competitors four lengths, so we run on it.
Going back to the era when, before you predate Lasix, the widespread application, what did you do when you had a breeder under your care?
Well, it was only New York didn't allow Lasix, so right. We just ran them outside New York. But now, talk about bleeding. Okay, well, let's talk about Lasix. Lasix has occupied far too much print, far too much time.
We've wasted
far too much time talking about waste when we've got other problems. And as Rick Arthur says, it's like guns and abortion. You'll never get people to agree. And I can see it from both points of view. My point of view is I'm dead against Lasix. I think it's bad for the long-term future, bad for public perception. But I can see it from the trainer's point of view. It's cheap. It works, and there's relatively few side effects. So if you've got a bleeder and you can't give him Lasix, what are you going to do? Retire him? Mm-hmm. Oh, he's nowhere near as good. So I can see it from their point of view. If I was the average trainer in the average track, I wouldn't do that. But why are there so many bleeders in America when there aren't the bleeders in the rest of the world? Why is that? We do everything we can to make a horse bleed. If you said to me, go make a horse bleed. We do lots of things. First of all, we train them on hard surfaces. The facts are out there, they're undisputable. The harder the surface, the more they are for bleeding. That's number one.
Stress. You're putting added stress on a horse.
Number two is butte. Number three is fast early speed. If you want to make a horse bleed, you want to go from 0 to 60 in 4 seconds, like we do. We come out the gate and go like smoke in America, don't we? And then the next quarter, we keep him going. And then the next quarter, we ask him to go again. So it's fast speed and then fatigue at the end. Because as you know, they're not going fast at the end. Some are just going they're going slower. They're slowing down. So we have hard surfaces. We've had Lasix for too long now. We've got one of the other problems of horses that make speed is a defective airway, a horse going in his wind. And we've covered some of those up now. So we've got wind, hard surfaces, racing tactics. When the Lasix is, they're not going to go guns blazing like that. They're going to go steady and come with a finish like they do in the rest of the world.
We have plenty of horses that are sent here. Christophe Clement's career, yes. And Graham Motion, and plenty. I'm sure you've received horses that bled, that were bleeders from European campaigns. The one topic that I bring up that when people say why don't they bleed as much in Europe, and you talk about the stress, and obviously turf racing, horses, basically idling and then finishing the last 3/8. However, talk about ventilation, training at yards, and training away from the racetrack, because they certainly don't store straw and hay above horses' heads at yards. They don't have the enclosed, those enclosed barns that affects the lungs.
Fresh air is a huge thing.
And a
to be
big
able to
deal.
Turn them out in paddocks.
Yep.
And so there's lots of reasons why they bleed. So we talked about hard ground, horses going in the wind, medication, fast pace. What else have we done? So if we could eliminate all those, that's why there'd be less bleeders.
Well, We need Ballydoyle. We can basically, if we can recreate everywhere across the country.
You can have Topeka Farms.
You can have Topeka.
250 acres of turnout.
I love it. I love it.
Now, that picture yesterday, we showed you the two horses. That wasn't in a vacation. That was between the last two races. I mean, our horses go out every day.
And speaking of your horses, you had a very good year, very quietly, and you're pretty much back. I mean, you're obviously busy with Topeka Footings, but
well, no, my wife does the Topeka Footings. So she keeps me away.
She's basically got you occupied, and she's doing the sales and the research work.
Go and train your horses.
You had a very good year. Yesterday, I finished the note about Lift Up, who really was terrific.
She's done great. Yes.
Very well. Is she back for next year?
No, Mr. Robbie's going to breed her.
Okay.
He said he's never had any luck racing six-year-olds and then is going on his broodmares.
Yeah,
He had Weyer and some others and sure. together, raced them at six, and they never produced much.
Yeah.
So he's going to retire, which is very sad because we haven't seen the best of her.
Oh, no. That's frustrating.
Never mind.
What about the gelding? That rumors of violence.
No. We got him claimed. He wasn't very good.
Okay. All right.
That's all
right. What do you got that's coming up?
Theodora B.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yes, and we haven't seen the best of her yet. She's better than Lift Up.
How about that?
Definitely better. Well, yes, and her buyer figure was higher than her last time anyhow. But she working at home. She can give Lift Up five lengths and just pick her up just like that. And I've told Leon about four times, but he doesn't believe me. But every time, because we try to keep our horses, when they're working together, we try to finish them in the dead heat. Because we don't want one horse to finish five lengths in front of the other to demoralize them. So we set the not-so-good ones off at the front, the medium ones at the and the really good ones at the back. So De Hoss was always 10 lengths out the back, you know. And they would all join throughout, and the quarter pole, they'd all go up together, and they had to have a finish dead heat. I say, if anybody finishes in front, you're dead. I've got a rifle here, and you're dead. So the riders know they have to have a dead heat. So Theodora could just give Lift Up five lengths, cruise to it, you know, and then she has to put on the brakes. But she's... So we haven't had the best of her yet.
She's out of Dinah Waltz that Jonathan had.
Yes. Jonathan had a lot of these, as you know, Shorebridge horses. He's a really good guy. We all love Jonathan. He's very popular, and he was being a brilliant horseman. To have a winner at Saratoga for 50 years.
It was unbelievable.
Unbelievable longevity.
He had a very good year. After kind of a down couple of years, he had a very good year this year, Jonathan Shepherd.
Yeah, but everybody likes him. He's a really good horseman.
Wonderful.
He's a good guy.
Without a doubt. Well, Michael, I wanted to get you on, and you know, to me, you don't need to. The hard sell is really not necessary. It's strictly a question.
Now, all my witnesses I called yesterday.
Yes.
What, apart from the slide you mentioned, what didn't you agree with?
Oh, there's nothing I didn't agree with. Other than the my only quibble is the circumstances that surrounded the first incantation.
Bill Kasner said it was because of the breeders, and you think it's because the track wasn't good enough.
Well, the product, I mean, look at what happened in California, and the California example is a mess. I mean, with the three different surfaces, the cushion, the pro, and four surfaces. You were there, Hammer.
We had four tracks, four surfaces. I think the main problem with California, it was rushed upon us.
Yeah.
Instead of saying put it in 6 months, if they just said put it in 2 years, it would have given it a chance to put it in a training track, to go over it, to find out the weather problems, to find out the wet problems, and come out of it at the end of the 2 years and say, okay, this is what we're going to do. Instead, one rush to put the Pete in, one rush to put poly track, one did cushion track, one did pro ride. I mean, how disorganized was that? And, you know, we flipped the coin, and guess what? Which one's left?
Topeka.
And during this whole situation, I got to say, you don't hear a word about Golden Gate Fields during this whole year.
And that's a weather.
Weather beaten. Well, I mean, it's got all kinds of stuff.
Four fatalities this year racing from, I think, 7,000 or 8,000 starters. That's pretty good.
It is good. And that's a lower class of horse, too. I mean, you're not dealing with.
A good racetrack manager there, Dave Duggan, does a terrific job. And their track man, Juan Meza. He's fantastic. does a really good job.
Well, you need the trifecta. You can't have a track man that's not all for it and is going to do what he's, you know, what he's basically told to maintain the track, and you got to have the track management that is all in the same. You can't be fighting, and that what was going on at, you know, in California at those times. All three of those people were not working together in unison.
Just so you know, my wife thinks Rick Hamill was the best racing secretary ever. She absolutely, when he did Monmouth, he was very efficient, got his stakes out early in a really lovely presentation. And she still thinks he's marvelous. I try my best to convince her otherwise, but I can't.
And,
you know,
and like I said, when I saw him, I said, where's Joan? This isn't your deal. This is Joan's deal. And I find out she's in England putting in a track over there, so they sent the sub in.
Oh, York is adding a training?
The real York. Not the phony York that's been there 5 minutes. The one that's been there 2,000 years.
Oh, okay.
But
the old York, not the new York, right?
Not the one on the East Coast that's been there 5 minutes. No, it's not. She's close to York. She's doing a track for Mark Johnson, which is in Yorkshire.
Oh, sure.
That's where she is.
And you know, speaking of which, how many tracks a year these days are making a switch or installing?
Well, Mark's had ours for 12 years.
Okay.
They say it doesn't last. It's been down 12 years. It's still in good condition. And he has 300 horses.
Yeah. Michael Dickinson, Tapita Footings, and this is a discussion that continues to advance and is not going away.
It should be game, set, and match. It shouldn't be a discussion. There's nothing to debate.
Unbelievable. just be patient. Show some patience. And
Rick,
and
you tell me this guy is a good guy. I mean, do I need to get a hammer to knock it into his head?
It'll come slowly.
Let it evolve.
The left and the right, you said, let you people decide.
I Googled him before I went on his show, and it said he was all right. So I was okay, but...
You've been on the show. You were on the show years ago,
and
then you came back when I reached out. By the way, I meant to ask you: do you play the golf course in the middle of Newcastle?
I don't play golf.
You don't play golf?
I'm too busy running.
Michael, thank you.
On Saturday, there were 74 horses and riders. I ran 15 miles with them, jumped 30 jumps.
Did you see the pictures that you put up yesterday?
Half of them went home because they were tired, but I wasn't.
I was going to ask you yesterday, are you more of a hurdler or a chaser?
Oh, chaser.
You're a chaser.
The more the bigger fences, the better.
All right. Now you got a big stride on you. Michael Dickinson, everybody. I got to pull up. Michael, thank you.
Thank you.
As always. Michael Dickinson and Hammer to put the bow on the package here and wrap up minutes.
I was nervous yesterday because
you were great.
Representing Joan, she doesn't like being casual. She's modest and shy.
You did just fine. And I think we're going to have to next year change the hours. Move it up about 2 hours, and so we can get the crowd walking by back and forth, which is a great.
Well, this was I don't ever remember this. I don't ever remember this. This is going
to
be
trying
funny.
To convince Bob Baffert to put to races with Tapita. You can't make this stuff up.
Oh, this is great. All right, Hammer, I got to pull up. We're gonna take it away. Thank you
for coming. Thanks to the students. Thanks to the university. And Steve will be back
award winner
tomorrow, and we'll talk again on Friday.
You bet. Everybody, I want to thank Wendy Davis and Betty and the whole team, all the kids that make it just so worthwhile. They ended up, usually they're on Wednesday, but to have Baffert and Pletcher together, a real treat for them because they're hoping to become the Hammerleys, the Bafferts, the Pletchers with their Arizona degree in hand. So thanks for joining us. Thanks to Bob and Michael Dickinson today, Greg Peck as well, Sid Fernando, Matt O'Connor, who joined us as well. Heading back, and we'll talk to you tomorrow back home. Start to look forward to the weekend. Sirius XM at the races. Talk to you in the morning. Think there is a soul. We don't know.